With me on the show today is Jessica, and it's another live coaching session, but this one's really special. You see, Jessica has her own podcast where she helps women find more confidence, really step into their confidence, find their voice per se, especially in the workplace. And Jessica was kind enough to let me help her get to the next level with what I hear in her voice. We're really working today with boldly owning it and revealing who you are without hesitation, cracking masks, and getting to the next level of success in business and in life. I think you're going to really like this episode, and I don't want you to miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad to have you with me today, as always. Thank you so much for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. I love being on this voice journey with you. And I've got a great episode for you today. But quickly, I want to let you know that I have a new Facebook group and I'm about to do a live 3-series training. I don't want you to miss it. If you'd like to join that group where I'm doing hot seat coaching and all kinds of cool stuff, the link is in the show notes. I don't want you to miss my 3-part training coming up. And the only way you can see it is if you are on the voice, have signed up for the voice formula, which you can do so over at captivatetheroom.com or in the group. But I'd love to have you in the group. I'd love to get to know you. All right. I've got a great coaching type episode today. Really loving the gal that I'm working with today. Her name is Jessica, and she has her own podcast where she teaches women in the corporate world how to find their confidence, which is such a great thing to be doing. And we really dive into some story and some habits today and transform things for Jessica in a big way. I think you're going to love this episode. Let's head on over to the show. With me today is Jessica. Jessica, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll be totally transparent. I'm going to tell you honestly, she interviewed me on her show. She's got an amazing show. I'm going to let her tell you all about it. But literally, I was not in my voice zone I was in my voice zone, you know, geeking out on talking about voice, but I wasn't listening to her voice. So I'm going to do just like what I always do on these episodes. I'm going to have her talk to me for a little bit. I'm going to write down a few things, ask her some questions, and then we'll see what we've got. So Jessica, actually, let's start with that. Tell everybody about your show.
Oh, I would love to. So it's called The Art of Speaking Up. And it's for women who work in 9-to-5 jobs, whether it's corporate America or any kind of 9-to-5. And the goal of the show is to give women not just the tools to do incredible things in their career, but also feelings of empowerment. So whether someone is struggling to feel confident or to speak up at work or just to feel good in their skin at work, the goal of the show is to make them feel very strong and very powerful and to bring their voice and their intellect out powerfully in their workplace.
Wow. Such a great show. Such a great show. I really love what you're doing. There's such a need for that, I believe. Now, so what do you have a corporate job?
Yes, I do. And that's kind of why I wanted to start the show, because I'm in it with my listeners. I'm going through it too.
Yeah. What do you do? You don't have to tell us where you work, but what kind of work do you do in the corporate world?
Sure. I do corporate strategy, which basically means I help companies usually figure out how to grow.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty cool. Well, tell us a little bit more. I'm hearing something that I've got to figure out exactly what is driving it. I hear it. I've got a number of things written down, but there's something I'm hearing. I can't find the driver. So I need you to talk to me just a little bit more. Tell me, did you go to college?
Yes, I went to University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And then I went to law school right after that in New York City.
No way. So did you finish law school?
Yes, I finished law school and realized halfway through law school that I did not want to be a lawyer. So it was kind of an expensive mistake, but such is life. And I ended up going into management consulting instead of law, which is what led me to do corporate strategy. So I jumped from law right into business instead. I realized that was much better for me.
So you lived in New York City?
Yeah, for 5 years.
Yeah, I loved it. I lived there for 15 years before I moved out here to LA. Did you like living there?
I fell in love. And now I feel like I have this weird relationship with it where it's like an ex-lover. Like, I love it and I miss it so much, but it's also so hard to live there. So
yeah. Well, you're on the West Coast too, aren't you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in Los Angeles too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I should have had you over at the house.
Oh, did we not realize that we both live in LA?
I don't know if I did or not. I knew you were West Coast because you had sent me Pacific time, but I don't think I put it together that you were in LA.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's so interesting that we didn't realize that.
I know. Yeah, I feel that way about New York. I miss it so, so, so much. You didn't have to sit in traffic there.
I know. Well, you had to sit squished in the subway with like people against your body, like full body contact on the subway.
Yeah. Okay. So what part of New York did you live in? Did you live in Manhattan?
Yeah, I was on the Upper West Side.
My whole time there, I tried to get on the Upper West Side. I wanted to live on the Upper West Side so bad.
Really?
Yes. And I never could get over there. Like I couldn't find a place or couldn't find a place I could afford. But I always lived in Murray Hill over, right below Midtown. So I was an East Side girl.
The grass is greener because I was always like, oh, we're so far uptown. Like anytime we want to go out, it's so far. And I always wanted to live downtown.
Isn't that funny? Okay. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things that I hear. I'm going to have to ask some questions because there's something I'm hearing and I'm still not sure what's driving it. Okay. Do you ever find yourself talking and talking and talking, but running out of air and still talking?
Yes.
Okay. You're disconnected from your breath. It's almost as if you're holding your breath in anticipation of what you're putting out into the world.
Yes.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah. And I'm also not very bodily connected at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like you're not grounded?
Yes.
It's very fascinating. I hear doubt, but I don't hear doubt like I normally do. I hear doubt that's covered in something. And that's what I'm trying to figure out is what it's covered in. But I hear doubt. And what's fascinating is you start your sentences strong and then they drop off. And that's where I'm hearing the doubt. You kind of drop your endings a little bit. It's like you can only hold that so long, and then you start questioning yourself.
Whoa. Yes.
Does that resonate?
Deeply, deeply.
Okay, I hear it. And just, you know, I get my disclaimer, and you should see the look on her face right now. Our eyes are as big as saucers. Let me just give the disclaimer that I always give. None of this is bad. You think of me as your secret weapon, that literally we can fix this and you're going to sound even better. These are things that people are processing subconsciously only. They're not walking around going, well, that Jessica, if she'd stop dropping her endings, everything would be better for her. They're not saying that. Okay, so that's where I'm hearing the doubt. And it is the disconnected from the breath and the grounding. It's like you're floating, waiting for somebody to pull you back down or something. But there's such a solidity. See, I can hear the under voice too. And there's so much power in your voice that you are not even remotely owning.
Whoa.
Okay. It's there. I hear the tones. But all right, let me see what else I have on my list. But that doubt and that hesitation, is it fear of judgment?
I think it's kind of like it feels like, is this okay? Is this allowed? Yeah. Am I allowed?
Yes. Asking for permission. Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's when I say doubt, you know, it's this, did I get it right? Are you a right and wrong thinker? You either get it right or you're, yeah. Okay. So that's what's happening is you're starting out. I've got this right. No, I think I've got it wrong. And so that's where I'm hearing doubt and the second guessing. This asking for permission. Totally. That's what that whole dropping out is about. All right, let me see what else I have. Yeah, an unsurety. An unsurety is like, are you a people pleaser?
I am at the core.
Yeah. I think we all are. I think everybody has elements of it. But that unsure, what about, are you a perfectionist as
yes.
well? Yeah. So I'm unsure. The doubt, I think, is almost within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
More so than what I think.
That's so interesting.
I don't know. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah. I mean, I question myself a lot. Yeah. And I also, I don't know if this is reflected in my voice, but I personally struggle to find power that's not ego-driven. And like to find like heart-centered power. That's really hard for me.
Okay. All right. I got to think for a second. This is good. This is really good. There's a fear.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? It's fear about being enough.
Yeah. I think I'm afraid. I think being seen. I've learned, you know, since starting my podcast, I didn't know this before because I had never been seen in that way, but I definitely have a fear of being seen. And I think my voice would probably sound different if I knew I wasn't going to be seen. So there's probably some of that in there in addition to the doubt.
Yeah. Being in the, I think you are spending a little bit of time in the future.
Yes. A lot. Most.
Yeah. A lot. Uh-huh. And you know what? You mentioned this and I will say this, I'm just being totally transparent. We were talking about vocal fry on when she interviewed me on her show. That's not the problem. You're disconnected from your breath. Mm. And so your voice is having to drag itself out. And that tells me that you're terrified of vulnerability or there's a lot of judgment and fear linked up with revealing who you really are.
That is spot on.
Spot on.
100, 500% true.
Yeah. Because as you guys know, and I've talked about this, vulnerability. You want to talk vulnerability, you talk voice. The voice is the most vulnerable tool we have. And so the subconscious, and everybody's just disconnected from the breath. You know, I'll have these people that are great meditators or great yoga people, and they're like, oh, I've got breathing. And I'm like, yeah, when you do yoga, but put your voice with it, that's a whole nother ball game because now you're in vulnerability. So yeah, it's all kind of a big rubber band ball with you is this getting it right, asking for permission, being enough, this litmus test of perfection within yourself and yet keeping everybody happy at the same time. And that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
That's exhausting. So
yes.
All right, I want to work on getting you connected to your breath. Do you feel like your sound's stuck in the back of your throat?
It's definitely stuck somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Sure. Okay, do you grind your teeth?
No, but I do get jaw tightness when I'm very stressed.
Yeah, can you hear how you, well, you probably, I don't know, I ask the weirdest questions that people don't go around in the world thinking about. But your sound is falling through the bottom of your jaw.
Hmm.
And I hear it. So I've got flow and I've got grounding and I've got breath. Okay. So this is where I'm going to just try several techniques because I'm not exactly sure what's going to get me the result that I want, but I'm going to try to get this sound flowing out, connected to your heart, flowing out with greater ease. So actually I need to go to message. Okay. Are you analytical as well?
Yes.
Yeah, very, and very much have to get the words just right.
Yes, but words are the medium that I feel most comfortable with. So it feels good to be analytical with words.
Okay. But do you feel pressure to get the words just right to make me happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay. That's what's keeping you ungrounded. And that's what's keeping your voice from working properly, is you're up here orchestrating to get it exactly right. Okay. So I'm going to do something that I don't think I've done. I don't know if I've done this on any of these. All right. I want you to teach me something. This can, now it doesn't have to be long, but I want you to teach me something about strategy, or teach me something about confidence, like you talk about in your podcast, or just, I want you to teach me something. I don't want it to just be us having a conversation. I want it to be you kind of being on a little bit, you know, like think like, well, I've got to teach her this.
Okay, cool. I can teach you something that I just recorded an episode about. So it's fresh in my mind and I feel like I have the concept down. So this is how to uncover your strengths and how to figure out what you're good at. If you're feeling like, I don't know what I'm good at and I'm not good at anything. So the way that I teach to do this that has been really helpful for me is to think of something in your life that makes you feel deeply satisfied. So the analogy that I use is, for me, it's the feeling of putting the last puzzle piece in a puzzle. And when I put the piece in the puzzle, I feel this feeling of joy, but it's also like really satisfying and it feels really good. And I tell people to think about that feeling and really like feel that particular flavor of joy that feels satisfying. And then find places in your life, look around every activity that you do for that feeling to come up. And usually those places or those activities where you feel that particular like flavor of satisfying joy, either those activities or something connected to them is something that you have a strength or a superpower in. So that's kind of the high level gist of it.
That's great. And you have so many good things going. There's a solidity in your voice that's really great. I mean, it's like I talk about when I work with people, this is about next level, going to the next level. But do you feel the hesitation?
Yeah.
It's like you're telling me, but you're not 100% sold yourself.
Right.
Right. You are sold, but there's that doubt about, am I getting this right? Is this enough? What is she thinking? Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So let's try this. That was great. And we're going to work with that content. So you're going to say that content again. I'm going to run you through several different things with that same content. You don't have to get the words exactly right. I'm not even listening to the words. I'm listening to how you're saying it. What is the message of what you're trying to say? The message is, I really want her to know XYZ. Or I really want her to feel, or I really want her to get. What would be the message of what you're telling me? I really want her to.
I really want her to know that she definitely has superpowers and strengths.
Okay. I want you to say it again. And I want you to commit solely to the message. Like literally in your mind, I want you to be thinking, I have got to make Tracy understand. And think about that message.
The short superpowers
message. The short superpower message. Yep.
I really want her to understand that there's no way that she does not have superpowers and strengths.
Okay. Now, go back to the dialogue, the same thing that you told me. But what I want you to be thinking about is that message. Not thinking about getting the words right, but thinking about making me understand that I got to get this superpower thing.
Okay. So everybody has things that they're good at. It's not possible that you're not good at something, and there's a way for everyone to find it. And if you're struggling to find it, there's a way that I think will work really well for you. And it's all about identifying this satisfying feeling of joy. It's like the same feeling that you get when you put the last puzzle piece in a puzzle, and you feel happy and you feel good and you feel accomplished. I want you to think about that feeling and find places in your life where you feel that feeling. And those are the places where you have strengths and superpowers. And everybody has things in their life where they feel joy and where they feel satisfaction. It's just a question of getting curious and allowing yourself to see those places so that when you do see them, you can begin to look at them and say, oh, this might be something that I'm really good at.
Wow. Did that feel different to you?
It felt so different. Yeah.
Can't even compare those two.
It's so different. Oh my gosh. This is
can't even compare. Can't even compare. What were you thinking about this time? Just thinking about that message?
I was thinking about why I want you to understand this, because I guess I care more about you knowing how powerful you are than I care about my hesitation. So I think I just focused on you. And so I was like, well, this has nothing to do with me. I need her to know this.
Yes. Yes. And you just slayed that.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You can't even compare those two. I mean, this is like a fantastic case study. And half of the stuff that I had on my list of where I needed to go next, you did simply by connecting to the message.
Wow.
So it got you out of your head where all the noise is that's saying, get it right. Those aren't the right words. What is she thinking? You sound stupid, or whatever's going on in your head, right? Because one of the places that I was going to go, where I was going to go next was, I need you to boldly own it. I was going to have you do it again, and I was going to tell you to boldly own it. But by connecting to the message, you did boldly own it.
Mm.
There was no question in my mind that you were 100% on what you were saying to me. You eradicated that doubt.
Wow.
You eradicated that hesitation. Then where I was going to go after that was, what do you want me to feel? Well, you organically did that by connecting to the message. You started thinking about me and what you have to do to make me feel something.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I feel really naked now, like not in a bad way, but I just feel like all of my fears and all of my feelings and things that I experience, difficult things, they're all connected to my voice. And it's scary too, because I have a podcast and I just feel so vulnerable, but it's not a bad thing, but I do.
Well, and all the people that do this work with me, you know, I do this work that's why I have such care and respect for the people that work with me, because I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to go through because I've been through it. I know what I'm asking you to do. And you don't even know me. Like, you didn't necessarily even want to, you know, it's like, you know, this is just a kind of a crazy thing, but I know how hard it is. And I want to tell you the secret to that. One, you're being very brave and very courageous, but I want to tell you the most valuable thing you can do in this moment is sit through and get comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because if you were doing things the way you always did them, they would feel safe. But are you leveling up?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's like one of the permission slips that I give people is, when it feels scary, when it feels awful, when it feels overdone, when it feels all these things, don't be afraid. Know the power of what you're doing. You know, it becomes like, hey, I'm doing it. I am boldly revealing who I am. And here's the thing. This is the most important part for you to remember. The professional sat here and said, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It's reassuring. I think it's just so crazy how all of the complex, like difficult things that I am experiencing, like you went straight into all of them as we're talking, as I'm using the voice. So I know, I know that you're hearing it all, and it's just crazy. It's so crazy because it's all very, very true.
Yeah. And don't let it flip you out that I can hear it. You know, I do believe that we process it all subconsciously. I just, for whatever reason, was given the gift of being able to dissect it and say what it is and rewrite it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why. I thought everybody could do this. They can't, you know, and I researched that to really dive into what are they hearing it and how are they hearing it? And that is how I discovered that people are processing it subconsciously, but it's not, I mean, it is real exposed when I break into it, but it kind of in a cool way. Think of it like a secret weapon, right?
Oh yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. So let's see if we can recreate that. Think about something else you could teach me about.
Okay.
Some totally new, something totally different. And I want you to, as you think about it, think about what the message is. Think about what you want me to feel. And then do it again.
Okay. New thing, right? New topic.
Yeah, something different. Yeah, different topic. Just because I want to check that you can recreate it.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about negotiating salary. And I want to talk to you about asking for more money. And I specifically want to talk to you about the fear that I know that you're probably going to feel in the moment where it comes down to you having to ask for what you want. And no matter how much you prepare and how much work you do and how much you learn about it, there's a good chance you're going to be sitting in that room or on the phone with someone, whatever the situation is. And it comes down to make your ask and to demand more. And it's going to feel really, really scary. And everything within you is going to want to just back away and scrap everything. And you're going to come up with 100 reasons why you really shouldn't do it in this moment. And that is the exact moment when all of the work has to happen. So it's not about all the research that you did, and it's not about learning how to negotiate, and it's not about any of those steps. It is literally about that moment where you want to back down and you want to run away. All of the work happens in that moment where you commit to saying, I feel terrified. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I feel like everything inside me wants to back out, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that is how you ask for a raise.
Okay, how'd that feel?
It felt really different than all the others that I did before.
Yeah, did you feel confident?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
Okay, what were in the no ways?
I think it was more spontaneous. So I think I was like, oh, okay, I have to come up with something. How am I going to explain this? But it also felt really natural because when I channel the feeling, I don't have to think as much. But then I'm also aware that you're analyzing my voice. So I'm like, am I doing okay?
Yeah. Well, don't even think that because you're doing great. You're doing amazing. So yeah, this is about the permission slip of knowing that the words will be there for you. Mm. And that's why you want to go up in your head because you don't trust that the words are going to be there. You don't trust that you're the expert that you are.
Yeah, I'm really afraid that I don't know anything.
And that's that fear that I heard. Yeah. You're afraid that you're going to get it wrong and that you don't know anything. And I sense that you've had some negative experiences. Like you've been, I mean, we all have, but, and maybe it's because you told me you went to law school and I've worked with a lot of people that have been to law school and that's brutal. You know, that's can be brutal humiliation sometimes.
I have had trauma in my past.
I can tell.
Parts of my life.
Yeah, I can tell. And so you're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you're really feeling this need to ask permission to be great.
Yes.
And I got that permission slip right here. I'm handing it to you right now. You already are great.
Oh, thank you.
So you don't need to ask our permission. We're ready for you to reveal that greatness to us. Right. And I think that when you go back and listen to this, and I think that the listeners would agree, and I'll get feedback from them. When you do boldly own it and put it out there and just say, forget it. I don't have time to ask your permission. That's when you're really stepping into your greatness.
Yeah. I think I'm scared because I think being noticed and heard makes me afraid that something might happen, you know? So it's almost if I do show the greatness or speak in this way, does that somehow increase the chances of the thing I'm afraid of?
What are you afraid of?
I think I'm just afraid of being hurt in some way or being a target of someone else's negativity.
Okay. So let's break this down a little bit. Are you a control freak? Yeah. Okay. So that's part of it. You also have fear of success.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right. And so you're way off in the future, worrying about what they're going to do. And let me just say something right here, right now. You're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Elvis was freaking judged. Elvis.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can judge Elvis, we're going to be judged. Judgment is not about you. It is about someone's perception through their filter. And the sooner you can release that it is not about you, the better, because we're going to all be judged. People are going to be horrible because you know what? People are horrible. Some people are horrible. But here's what I'm going to say is, do you want to, and this is going to sound harsh, and I don't mean it to sound harsh, because I had to look at this question, this very question myself, and it kind of slayed me. Do you want to worry about what people are going to think and do, or you want to serve your purpose?
I am like, absolutely want to serve my purpose. So like with so much heart and soul, it's intense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hear it. I hear the passion and the love and the magic in your voice. So when I say there's so much good, you have the power in your voice to inspire people beyond measure, where there's some people, they don't have that. You know, some people come to me to get that. You organically have that. And it's this fear of losing control. And here's the thing about control. That's an illusion.
Yeah.
I don't have control over the next 6 hours. I mean, I can plan, and I can plan my whole life, and you can plan your whole life, and you can take action. But really, at the end of the day, we have no control. I have no control over what you're thinking of me right now. I can put on my best dog and pony show I've got, but I have zero control over when we get off this call, what you're going to think of me. I hope that you're going to like me and that we've had a great time, but there's no way I can control that. So I want you to kind of put that in a realistic framework, that these things, this kind of goes back to masks. These things you're putting in place to get a result are never going to get you that result.
Yeah.
It's just about boldly showing your greatness, because all those things that you're afraid of that you mentioned, they're going to happen at some point, but none of them are a reflection of you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And the real trick, though, is that you're keeping the world from the real you.
Yeah.
You're robbing us of the opportunity to really feel your greatness.
It's very terrifying for me.
I know.
It's extremely, like, deeply scary, which is so weird. It shouldn't be, but it really, really is.
Well, and you don't have to change it all in the next 7 minutes. You know, it's baby steps. It's baby steps. And that's what I tell all my people. We're not, you know, this is why you don't do one, you know, you don't come to me one time, right? You're going to start boldly owning that message in the safe spaces, with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors, with the guy at the grocery store, you know, the lower stakes scenarios. And you're going to start boldly owning and revealing who you are. And you're going to see, you're going to get good feedback. And that's going to give you proof to inspire you to do that in the higher stakes scenarios. I don't want to minimize Jessica's fear on any level, because I get it. It is warranted. What I want to do is dispel it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so crazy. You really do have a gift, because everything came out.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not done yet. I want to do one other thing. So that was really good. Now, I want you to tell me what your favorite food is.
Okay, I love so many foods, so this is going to be really hard for me to decide.
Oh, okay.
I love Middle Eastern food. I guess if I had to pick one kind of food, it would be Middle Eastern food.
Okay. So I want you to say, I really love Middle Eastern food.
I really love Middle Eastern food.
Okay. Do you feel how your sound's dropping off at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, that's literally, I think, you're not doing that intentionally. That's literally a pattern that was laid in probably from your childhood, where there was anticipation or doubt or hesitation or getting it right or something. We don't really even have to know the story. But you went into brace mode on your breathing. And so I want you to, I'm going to try a couple of things. I want you to take in a breath, and I want you to go, sigh.
Sigh.
Oh, very good. Okay, do it again. Take in a breath and go, sigh.
Sigh.
Very good. Do it one more time.
Sigh.
Okay, now say I really love Middle Eastern food.
I really love Middle Eastern food.
Did that feel different?
It was easier.
Was easier. Okay, let's try this. You know Marilyn Monroe? You know how she spoke very on breath? Everything she said was breathy. Okay, I want you to take in a breath and I want you to say, I really love Middle Eastern food.
Okay. I really love Middle Eastern food.
Good. Do that again.
I really love Middle Eastern food.
Do it one more time.
I really love Middle Eastern food. It sounds funny.
Yeah, I know. All this stuff is weird. Now say it normal. I really love Middle Eastern food.
I really love Middle Eastern food.
Did that feel different?
I noticed that I breathed before to get breath for it.
Yeah. We can't take it all on today, but I think that part of why you're dropping your endings a little bit, I think part of it is the doubt and the fear of getting it right and all of that. So I think that boldly owning it, I think that connecting to that message, you talk about that heart space, like you mentioned that at the top of the show. The message is the heart space. So did you feel more grounded when you were talking to me connected to the message?
I felt more grounded, but I also, I don't know, this is like a weird thing, but I feel like there's like an aggression there that I'm afraid of when I connect because there's like fire and then I'm like, oh, that's too much.
Okay, that's your subconscious and that is perception versus reception. So okay. You are perceiving that. That is not how it's being received. It's being received brilliantly.
Okay.
And that's that subconscious is going to try to keep you safe. And so that subconscious is giving you a perception that's saying, whoa, that is wild. Don't do that. They're not going to like you. And actually use that as your litmus test.
Okay.
Here's the thing. In this safe space with me, you are like, boom, putting it out there. And if you were to practice in safe spaces, boom, putting it out there, you are still going to go in the unsafe spaces and drop it down a little. And that's actually the goal. Like if we had a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is you're silent and 10 is you're an auctioneer, I would have you practicing at an 8 so that when you go into the space where you're a little nervous and it's a little scary, you're going to give a 5. Where if you practice at a 5, you're going to go in and give a 3. And that's safe. That's mm-hmm. too safe. So to adjust your perception, that wasn't too out there. That was exciting and passionate and really revealed who you are. But I think that, and I think that connecting to that message and not doubting, boldly owning it is going to help us with that dropped ending. And that dropped ending is not horrible. It's not every sentence. It's just a little bit. But I think that being connected to the breath, getting you reconnected to the breath is also going to help that. Now, I have one other question on that. And I know this because you mentioned it when you interviewed me on your show. You said something about, did you used to have an uptick?
Yes. And sometimes I still do.
Sometimes you still do. How did you get rid of that? Was it like just mentally being aware of it and stop doing it?
I think I got a bit empowered. So I think I started realizing that I don't need to please people I don't like. And then I think the uptick started to go away a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. This that I'm hearing, I think it's a pattern. I think it's a remnant, a leftover from what was.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, is trying to find something that can prop those endings up. So let me try one other thing. I want you to say, Scott and Bob got the dog.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
You see how you trail off?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you get to dog, I want you to emphasize it and over articulate it. So it becomes Scott and Bob got the dog.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
That was overemphasizing.
Oh gosh. Okay. Should I try again? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so strange to you. That's scary to you, isn't it?
It's so weird, but yeah, it's super weird, scary.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's the tiniest little thing, right?
Wow.
But somehow, this is common. I've seen it before. It's not just you. Somehow the subconscious, you know, the voice gets stuck in five different places and it can get stuck in five different places. And the fifth one is you're literally pulling your sound back in. Like, I'm going to tell them this, but oh, they may not like me. Your subconscious put that in. You didn't put that there. So really over articulate dog. Scott and Bob got the dog.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
Good. All right. Do it again. And really hit the G. Dog.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
Good. Do it again.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
Do it again.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
One more time. Really over articulate and hit that G.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
One more time.
Scott and Bob got the dog.
Okay. Now tell me what you're going to do this weekend. Do you have any plans? Do you have anything going on?
My significant other's parents are in town, so we'll grab dinner, maybe go to a museum.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then do you have to sit in a lot of traffic to get to your job?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sometimes it can take almost an hour and a half for like a 10 mile commute. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Does that feel better? Does it feel like your sound is flowing out a little bit better?
It does. I think I'm thinking about so much of what you've told me. My brain is like, wow, like, oh my gosh. And so it's like, I think I'm in a state of awe right now, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So what I think that dropped ending thing is about, I mean, there's an internal driver to every external habit. Okay. The way I view it, the voice that I live in, that is just an old pattern that is not serving you anymore. So what I'm going to suggest on that is I'm going to have you take that sentence, Scott and Bob got the dog, or you could say, you know, you could change it to anything with plosive consonants, PTKD. G-T. I think I said T. And literally, you're going to say it over and over and over again, hitting that last word, boom, 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 to rewrite what is in the muscle memory top layer. We're going to always draw from the top layer. And that's just a remnant of something that you needed 15 years ago or whenever you don't need it anymore. So that's one of the things that we want to rewrite externally. I do think you could take that sigh exercise and get reconnected to the breath. I think that is going to help the sound flow out. But I think that the big thing for you is connecting to that message and owning it, boldly owning, I have got to make her understand. I have got to make them know. I want them to get XYZ.
I think sometimes it feels like I'm conserving energy and then saying dog, that's like, oh, that feels really tiring. But is that because I wired myself in a way to make it tiring and it actually shouldn't be tiring to not drop the endings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And here's the thing. I don't want you going out in the world going, excuse me, Mr. President, could I have a meeting with you? Right. I don't want you going out in the world that way. I just want to rewrite what's in the pattern. And you're an introvert, right?
Yes.
That's why it feels exhausting.
Is there a way to make it not feel so exhausting?
You do it. You do it. Like literally you could take that dog sentence and do that every day for 7 days and you will rewrite that.
Amazing.
And then it's not going to feel exhausting anymore, but it is probably going to feel exhausting when you do it. I remember working with a woman, loved working with her. She's very, very smart, very much an introvert. And we were working on vocal variety and it was exhausting to her. I mean, we about didn't make it. And she kept at it. You know, she kept doing the work, pushing through the exhaustion, pushing through the exhaustion. I ended up catching up with her several months later for a project. And I was like, whoa, you sound amazing. And she was like, I know, I just kept doing what you told me to do. And now it's really easy.
Okay.
So it's about writing it. You know, the internal piece, people probably think I am so woo-woo. And the external piece is so incredibly technical, the way I approach it. And it's literally just push through, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. It's like gym for the face. You're going to put in something new. And then all of a sudden it's the new normal and it's not exhausting anymore.
Okay. That's really good to know that it will feel also energizing and good.
Oh, absolutely. And even on the internal thing, the boldly owning it may feel exhausting to you right now. And that's okay. I would expect it to as an introvert and it, as it being something so totally new and different. But you do it and you do it and you do it every time you can remember to do it. You don't beat yourself up when you don't remember to do it. You just work with it, work with it, work with it in safe spaces and push through the uncomfortable. And then you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to realize you're doing it. And it has become the new normal. And that's how you level up. And then you start pushing it again and you level up again. And then that's how we ultimately get to the best revelation of you, which might be one level up. It might be three levels up. I don't know. But it moves you beyond that space that's so safe.
Yeah.
Where that, you know, now we can really connect with you. Now we really know who you are. Now you really captivate us on an emotional level, which is a whole nother game. That's a whole nother game.
Yeah, this is really interesting, Tracy. Like, I don't know. I just feel like you can see into my soul, into my heart right now. I don't know if this is something that might be helpful or that you might have a perspective on.
Yeah.
But I really struggle with public speaking. I get so afraid, but I wasn't that way my whole life. I wasn't that way until like later into my adulthood. And it's just strange to me that like I really struggle with boldness in front of people, but that wasn't always the case.
It can, remember, it can literally take one experience to shift it. You know, I'm working with somebody right now, same kind of thing. Never had a problem with it. One bad experience. Now he knows what the bad experience was. Literally shut everything down. Can you think of, so it's one of two things. The first thing is, was there ever a time, and it didn't even necessarily have to be public speaking. I want to tell you something that happened to me that literally ruined me. And the listeners, you've heard me talk about Dr. Swain before. Dr. Swain, my costume design professor, called on me to answer. I'm not a visual learner. And we had an assignment we had to read. And he called on me the first thing to answer the, you know, tell us about whatever it was. And I couldn't regurgitate it fast enough because I'm not a visual learner, and it made him mad. Of course, you know, by that point in time, he'd already had three cups of coffee, which was really vodka. But so he made the entire class do a research project over spring break because I didn't know the answer. So it took me 7 years to go to graduate school because I believed that I was stupid. One event. Can you think of, and you don't have to say it, but can you think of any time somewhere along the way that you got literally traumatized when you used your voice?
Yes, I think I know exactly what it is.
Okay, that's what it is. It'll shift overnight.
Yeah, because before then I was fine. Yeah. After then I was not fine.
Yeah, so you are still dragging that with you and letting that be, that's been established as the new norm. That every time you speak, that you're terrified of recreating that event. But that isn't the truth.
Yeah.
That's a story.
Yeah. My body thinks it's the truth.
Of course. Yeah. Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to reprogram that subconsciously, you know, and I bet when you go to public speak, do you think about that event?
Not usually, okay. But I had been thinking about it. Like, it started to occur to me that maybe that was like something that brought all of this to the surface.
Yeah, you're just dragging it with you. Yeah. And it's just a bulletproof glass that you're hiding behind. But You've already, and that, so that's that being in the past and the future. You've already decided that you're going to get the same outcome that you got before. And you have, you have no proof of that.
Yeah.
You could blow them out.
Yeah.
So you got to let that go. Every time you remember that, yeah, but since, well, how can you change that? You can't. I can't change one. Yeah. We can't change one single cell. There's a lot of stuff I'd go back and change, but I can't. But I'm not torturing myself with it either.
Hmm.
You've got to stay in the now. You're losing your power because you're dragging in the past and you're thinking about the future. We don't know the future. Past is over. In this now, I'm giving you all of me.
Mm-hmm.
100% of me in this now, and I'm releasing the outcome because that's all I can do. That's all that's in my control.
This is fascinating because my intuition kept telling me to take improv classes. I kept just getting this, like, this voice saying, do it, do it. And I just signed up for it. And I feel like maybe that'll help me be in the present a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely good for having to think on your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? This was great. You did great. Are you okay? Are you traumatized? Are you okay?
No, this was so eye-opening. And I don't feel like it was a voice reading. I feel like it was a life, like not like a voice session, like a life right. session. It just, so many threads started intersecting for me as you were explaining things.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, you know, the thing is you've got this. So stop telling yourself that you don't. Stop, you know, stop letting your subconscious, which is just trying to protect you, call the shots, because you don't need that anymore. You know, yeah. The same habits that you served you when you were five, you don't need them anymore. And the bolder, more, you know, the bolder version of you, the revelation of you, that is what is going to catapult you forward. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know it's like really scary. You don't even know me and you come on and you're willing to do this. So thank you. It was really, really great having you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I think your work is amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you, listeners. Thank you for being here. That's it. I'm going to wrap it up for today. And until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.